let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Mary's Lament from Joseph Nice is a compelling and gripping story about an epic moment in human history. Addressing ageless questions about faith and beliefs, the meaning of Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection, author Joseph C. Nice grew up in a Christian home in eastern Pennsylvania. After earning his bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Lafayette College, settled down in the family business manufacturing concrete and blocks. Yet Joseph felt God's call, uprooted his wife, two young children, enrolled at the Princeton Theology Seminary, where he would go on to earn his Master of Divinity and Ph.D. degrees. While there, he established a general contracting business in the Princeton area, also sang and conducted adult Bible studies, where touching and soul-searching discussions inspired him to write Mary's Lament. Joseph Nice is our guest on This Week in America. Joseph, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating conversation. This is really, I said it was compelling and gripping. It's all that and more. It's very challenging what you've written in the book. And let's start with the inspiration. Where did this idea come from to write this book and to do the research necessary to write the book?
Well, the book really is a reflection of my whole life in pursuit of faith. But the real inspiration to actually write it came after, you know, I was frustrated with my seminary experience. I really wanted to teach at a religious school, but after going through 6 years to the seminary, I was somewhat disappointed with what I saw as a lack of interest in the difference between faith and beliefs. Beliefs always seemed to me to separate us, and it seemed to me that faith really should bring us together. So I never really did pursue a teaching profession, and was I worked for almost 40 years as a general contractor. But I always stayed connected with churches through singing primarily. And while I was singing at a church down in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, St. Luke's Methodist Church, they found out about my seminary background and asked me to teach an adult Bible study class after church. And it was those discussions I found sincere Christians. They were struggling with their faith questions and their belief answers. And I realized I was not alone. And that experience suggested that what we were involved with was really a universal endeavor to understand faith. And I thought that maybe we should look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and see how she might have gone through the same kind of struggle that we were. So that's really what inspired me to write Mary's Lament. And so I, at that point, then went back into a lot of the stuff that I had studied at seminary. Yes. Read a lot of extra stuff around about the Jewish literature of the period, and Mary's Lament is the result.
Well, it's so well written and researched, and it's interesting to get the backstory. This literally was decades in preparation for you, wasn't it? This was something that you've given a lot of thought to. It wasn't a spur of the moment, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to write a book. This had been with you for a long time, and I try to sort of encapsulate the story very briefly in the beginning. But what is the basic storyline of the book, Mary's Lament?
It tells the story of Jesus's mother Mary, his brother Simon, and sister Salome, and the lives they lived in the aftermath of the crucifixion. It's set in Jerusalem in the turbulent days of 62 CE, under the fist of an incensed Roman oppressor, and the Roman oppressor was sent there because of the unrest that happened after James, Jesus's brother and the leader of the Jesus followers in Jerusalem, was killed. And so the family finds themselves embroiled in this situation. Those who claim Jesus as the Messiah, those who called him the Christ, and those who knew him as a man of flesh and blood. It brings in other people throughout the story. Obviously the story had to be made up because there's virtually no information about the family of Jesus, historically documented. So I made up the story, but tried to keep it very, very close to the facts that we have presented. And so that's basically the story. Mary is gets sent, Mary and Salome, because of the Roman reaction to the unrest in Jerusalem. Mary and Salome get sent to Caesarea, where Mary meets Barnabas, who she knew he was a young disciple of Jesus. So they re-meet there, and Simon, the other, the son of Mary, was on the run because the Romans were looking for him. A Roman soldier gets involved because he's impressed with, he was supposed to arrest Mary and was so impressed with her, he got arrested himself and escaped. And he and Simon, both running away from the Romans, find each other in the desert, and eventually end up also in Caesarea. So that's sort of the storyline. And along the way, the message that Mary's lament suggests that she is lamenting what's happening to the legacy of Jesus.
With us on the program is Joseph C. Nice. And if you're Googling that, that's N-Y-C-E. The book is Mary's Lament. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to information on Joseph's book, Mary's Lament. This is interesting that you wrote it as a novel. Talk about that, trying to do this, choosing fiction, and the challenges, maybe the dangers of doing it that way. That has to be challenging to present this story in a fictional form. How difficult was that?
I don't know that it was difficult. I knew that I was making up the story, but what I tried to do throughout it was to keep the characters real.
Yes.
In their own situation, and there's enough information in what we do have in the Bible, and that you know showed them as real people. So that's basically what I attempted to do, even though it is in a novel form and can easily then be cast aside by doctrinaire people because it cannot be claimed as true history. But I've attempted to put them in situations that all of us experience, and that way make them as real as possible.
The reviews have been excellent for the book Mary's Lament by our guest on the program, Joseph C. Nice. Who is the target audience? Who would you like to have read this book?
I'm writing for everyone who's serious about understanding faith and is troubled with the limitations beliefs pose for us loving our neighbor. I also think it should be a central issue for all of religions in the 21st century. Over my lifetime, I've seen a societal influence of religion diminish, while the demand for government action on moral and ethical issues increases. And I see this as an alarming trend, because I think humanity is not headed in a positive direction when its appeal for moral and ethical issues guidance is away from an institution based on love and toward an institution based on power. So this is what I would call a crisis of faith and the failure of religion to reflect on the true meaning of faith.
Joseph Nice, our guest on the program, talking about his book, Mary's Lament. You touched on this in the beginning. You seem to have a fairly negative opinion of beliefs. Are you advocating in this book for the non-believer?
Oh, no, not at all. Beliefs are the only way we can articulate our faith. And I simply want to caution us to be aware that when we express beliefs about God or the Creator, we're trespassing on sacred ground. We are saying things beyond our ability to comprehend. So I like to say that faith is humility, the realization of the connection to that which is beyond our comprehension. And I think this must overshadow everything we say about the Creator. Our beliefs can never sever the connection of the self with the Creator, for ourselves or for anyone else. Can beliefs say anything about our Creator? I think it is important to note that all of the three monolithic religions say that God is love. For the human condition, perhaps that's all we need to say about God. Love just is. It's out there in everything. And all we need to do is get over ourselves to experience God. If religion needs to say more about God or establish other beliefs to improve humanity, they must not separate, because love's impossible without the other.
The book is Mary's Lament. Joseph Nice is our guest on the program. That's NYCE. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. I'll give you that information. And you can link onto our website, by the way, and get all of that information on getting the book, information on the book and being able to order the book. What about sin? Earlier you said that religion is losing its societal influence over morals and ethics. Isn't a part of religion's duty to separate good from evil?
Yeah, but I don't see any evil in nature or the rest of the Creator's unfathomable universe.
Okay.
Evil seems to reside within the human ability to choose, to confront the Creator. Evil seems to have its genesis in selfishness. When the human soul places itself above all else, I think evil's born. So, I like to see sin as selfishness. And selfishness is also the absence of love. I ask myself often, could it be that simplistic, that God is love and all we need to do is get over oneself to be able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus?
As so much in the book Mary's Lament, would be so very thought-provoking. You read something and you sort of look away for a little while and you contemplate exactly what was said, and it's time to really take these revelations and to try to understand them and to give them the proper thought process. In the novel, Mary seems to have a good deal of problems with the Apostle Paul. Christian dogma seems to rest heavily on Paul's letters. What are you saying in so vividly exposing the difference between Mary and Paul's understanding of Jesus?
There's clearly a difference between the message of Paul about Jesus as expressed in his letters and the message of Jesus as presented in the Gospels, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's also a clear distinction between the man Jesus as presented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and the man Jesus in John's Gospel. In the three Gospels, Jesus talks like a rabbi, whereas in John, he talks as if he's the Son of God. There can be no denial that the purpose of all the writers of the four Gospels was to affirm that Jesus is the Christ of Paul's letters. However, even with those clear stipulations, the message of Jesus, as presented in his sermons and parables, is distinctly different from Paul's Gospel. Paul's Gospel is a gospel of salvation, and Jesus' message was that the kingdom of God's among us. It's clear from the book of Acts that the dispute between Paul and James had not been resolved by the time James was killed. Acts is very unclear as to just what this dissension was all about, but it's clear that the two parted with a severe rift between them. It is not such a stretch to surmise that the works faith dispute, which reared itself at the Council of Nicaea and again with Martin Luther, was at the heart of the argument between Paul and James. After all, Paul's claim of Jesus as God's son was an anathema to Jews, and probably took many years for the old Jewish beliefs to give way to the new Christian ones. In fact, the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem less than 7 years after our story is probably the greatest accelerator of this transformation of beliefs. There's a good possibility that at the time of the novel, there was at least two gospels, the gospel according to Paul and the gospel according to Jesus as presented by James. Mary's lament is raising the question, what if there is a gospel of Jesus that got buried in the tragic events of history that clearly articulates the faith Jesus is taught? I ask that question because of the beliefs that must accompany the gospel of salvation and separate us from a neighbor we're to love. I ask that question because of the violence that has shadowed Christianity from its start.
And you go into detail in talking about that violence as well in the book, challenging questions in the book, Mary's Lament, by our guest on the program, Joseph Nice. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of Paul are mutually exclusive?
No, not at all. I am suggesting a priority. If we believe the gospel of Jesus is the primary, to be the primary gospel, Paul's gospel of salvation loses its antagonism. Paul's whole life was asking the same question the rich young ruler asked Jesus. What must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus had at least two answers to that question. Follow the law, the Torah, and if that doesn't do it, well, sell all of your possessions and come follow me. In other words, get rid of all those things that keep you at the center of life. Beliefs that tie the hands of God are the problem. Paul believed that Jesus was God's son, come down to earth to save us from our sins. He believed eternal life was not possible if we didn't believe that. But Jesus never said that. For Jesus, following the law could bring eternal life. Paul converted Jesus into something the Jews couldn't believe, and we're still struggling with the fallout. Even Jesus had his beliefs shattered in order to truly understand faith. The woman from Phoenicia challenged Jesus when he claimed Jewish privilege in denying her healing request. Both his beliefs of Jewish privilege and a provincial God were shattered by her persistent faith.
Paul's gospel has brought blessed assurance to many Christians for almost several thousand years. Are you concerned that your novel will bring grave anxiety to many professing Christians because of that?
Yes, I am. I'm aware of the seriousness of the issue I'm addressing and the many diverse reactions it may generate. Our beliefs provide a crucial part of our self-awareness, and I don't intend to diminish any person's belief nor discount their importance. We humans can only guess at what eternal life will be. As I just said, for me, it is a matter of priority. Is the objective of faith assurance of eternal life or guidance in celebrating the gift of life? Well, both objectives could have selfish, sinful motivations. The second appears to offer the better opportunity for love. I must admit, I am writing for those who understand faith to be our guidance for this life rather than eternal life. The latter, I'll leave up to the Master Creator.
What are your hopes for the success of Mary's Lament? It's received, as I say, excellent reviews. What's your hope for the book?
I wish for the readers of this novel to come away with a fresh understanding of faith, to realize that faith comes before beliefs and is our sole connection with the Creator God. Faith is the taproot of our freedom, but faith is humility. I want our faith to demonstrate that God is love and God's kingdom is among us. I want us to be able to talk about that faith and live out its implications in ways that do not divide, but unite us. I want us to realize that love does not reside in the self, but happens when two or more selves interact. I want us to recognize that love is a threat to power, the power of self with a capital S, the incubator of violence. But most importantly, I want the gatherings of persons of this faith, religious gatherings, to stop focusing on what separates us and turn outward to where the needs for love dwell. I want each collection of the faithful to look up and down the street asking, who is my neighbor? Always seeking the less fortunate. I want the welcoming signs of our towns to say, no need for welfare or social security here. We've got that covered. Yes, I want a religious revival.
The book is so powerful. Mary's Lament, Joseph C. Nice, our guest on the program. That's N-Y-C-E. A minute or so left here at the end. What has this experience been like for you? What did this do to your faith, your beliefs, as you were researching and putting this book together? How did this impact you?
It's very humbling, to say the least. The message is not strictly in line with what we would call a traditional doctrine, and so It's not something that is readily accepted. And so, you know, and so I had with my background, since for the last 40 years, I was, you know, a general contractor. So I had no connections in the world of literature. And so I self-published, which is a very difficult route to really get, recognition of, yes, of the piece. So, you know, it's been humbling, but at the same time, I find it that it's a great feeling to have someone come up and said to me, your book's changed my life.
Well, and the book has the power to do that. The book is Mary's Lament. The author, our guest, is Joseph C. Nice, NYCE. The book's available. I'm saying Amazon, the usual places. Is that the best place to find copies, yeah, of the book?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble are the two most readily accessible places.
We say Amazon because everybody thinks of that. So that's right. The easy one, followed closely by Barnes & Noble. So the two of those. And if you're traveling and not remembering the name of the book or the author, just go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You'll have the information there to link on directly to get information and to order the book. Joseph, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Congratulations on writing this book and the way you're touching lives out there with this powerful message. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate that.
It has been our pleasure. Joseph Nice has been our guest, NYCE. The book is Mary's Lament. You'll find information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.